There are a lot of Christian denominations or confessions that speak a lot about free will. Certainly, they speak of faith and its necessity, but then a Lutheran comes along and proclaims faith alone, and then the Lutheran is mocked. They laugh and ridicule and tell us that we believe in some kind of cheap grace, that man must exercise his free will and choose for God. After all, God created us with free will, and in their words, God is not some kind of cosmic rapist. When I hear such things, I wish the speakers could be on the boat with the disciples here, so they could experience what free will accomplishes in the midst of the storm. Because we see before us today a wonderful lesson on how free will doesn't stand up very well. Even though the disciples' faith was weak and small, nevertheless, if they had not had this weak faith but only free will, they would have just sunk into the depths of the sea. But because there was a flicker of faith present, as Christ himself witnessed, "O ye of little faith," he said, they had hope. They did not utterly despair. Instead, they ran to Christ, woke him up, and begged for help. Now, to be sure, you do have free will to eat a donut or to buy a house, but that's it. When you live in security, exercise your freedom, you're free from danger, and have no needs, then you're tempted to think that your free will can accomplish anything. But then in time of need, when there's no money to pay the bills or the diagnosis is bad, where's your free will then? It's lost. It fails you when it comes to the test. But where free will fails, faith stands and seeks Christ, because faith is different from free will. Free will is nothing. Faith is everything. We see this in the account of the disciples as they face the danger of the waves. Because what the disciples tried to do, each of us will experience if we haven't already. When facing hard times and afflictions, you're tempted to confront these things on your own with your own free will, your own power. But when things continue to go horribly wrong, you think, "Oh Lord, I just wish I could be somewhere else." If you could wish yourself 1,000 miles away, that's what your free will would prefer. Again, when times are hard, you ask, "Where will I go and what will I do?" You see, these are the only things that free will can accomplish. Free will doesn't comfort the heart, but causes more and more despair, so much so that you're jumping at every shadow and rustling leaf. But in contrast, think of faith like a classy, royal lady. Even though faith be weak and small, it nevertheless exerts and doesn't permit itself to be frightened to death. Faith has great potential, as we see here in the case of the disciples. The wind, the waves, and the sea all work together to bring about death. I mean, who wouldn't despair in such circumstances? But faith, no matter how weak, stands firm, like a wall, and fortifies itself like scrawny David against Goliath, against sin, death, and all danger. Now, a strong faith rides like a conqueror. But you know what? Even a weak faith fights well, though perhaps not as valiantly. The disciples in the ship, we are told, had weak, small faith. Nevertheless, they sought help where it was to be found, with Jesus. They woke him up and cried, "Lord, save us, we perish." And I want you to notice one thing here. The Lord describes these as men of little faith, which means what? It means they had faith, even though it was weak and small. If they had no faith, they wouldn't have awakened Christ in their need. But the fact that they did wake him up is evidence of faith, for no one calls upon the name of the Lord, especially in crisis, unless he has faith. Even though there was a spark of faith in the disciples, it shone forth and clung to the person who could overpower death. Their call, "Lord, help," was an expression of faith. Because if their faith had been strong, they probably wouldn't have feared the wind and the waves. Perhaps they would have just thought, "Well, we'll just ride this storm out like Jonah, who survived in the fish's belly. For we have the Lord of the sea with us, And if we do not, if we did not have him with us, well, we could still find a place in the depth of the sea where we would remain dry and not drown and find rest. Our Lord can help and rescue us not only at the top of the sea, but also under it. Folks, it is God's great mercy that even if we have a weak faith, we do not despair of God's help. Free will seeks only the present moment. Faith looks beyond the temporary to the eternal. Faith is a replay of all comfort, salvation, and joy. It may see death's fangs and hell's jaws. Nevertheless, it calls to mind and clings confidently to the hope of being helped, just as the disciples clung to the Lord for help and comfort. In the same breath, it cries, "We perish," and at the same time, "Lord, help." But the cry of "Lord, help" finally wins and brings the victory. That's the characteristic of faith, which everyone assumes they understand so well. But the person who truly understands it and has experienced it knows how in time of need the world is pretty narrow. Well, on the other hand, those that pride themselves on having a strong faith are likely to be bold, impudent, proud souls as long as the sea is calm and the sun is out. But when disaster strikes and everything goes wrong, then courage just disappears and they're ready to despair. So much for glorious free will then. The fact is, we must all suffer trials. But there is also happiness and salvation for us. For Christ, true God and true man, helps all who believe in him and call upon him in every time of need. This comfort, protection, and shield all believers have. And even though because of this, we must suffer and endure much, it doesn't matter. It's of no account. Yeah, the godless also have their enemies and adversaries, even though they seem to be getting along better than believers. But why shouldn't we be patient in our tribulation and suffering? Even though the tribulations are greater than the troubles of the godless, in comparison, we have greater gifts and blessings than they do. The devil doesn't pursue them as vigorously as he does Christians. So what do they have more than us? Because at the end of the day, they have a bad conscience and must finally expect eternal judgment. The psalmist says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver him, and you will glorify me. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him, I will deliver him, and honor him." Christians certainly experience trials. However, if you call upon Christ in time of need, he will hear you, rescue you, and cause your trial to bear blessed fruit and great glory. For the present, every necessity is met, and later, eternal life will follow. And one thing you can be sure of is that all of that really bothers the old Adam within us, bothers him greatly. He doesn't willingly submit to wind and waves on the sea or to suffering. He would rather just remain over on the shore, away from Christ, away from the church, and exercise his so-called free will and go it alone. But as you know, it's always the same thing. Time of need must always come first, then follows rescue and glory. Dear Father in heaven, grant this to all of us for Christ's sake, through his Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.